Over 5 million people play football in the USA, and here to bring it to you in the raw, uncut, unadulterated is the undisputed number one sports show in Atlanta and abroad. 100 yards of football, live from headquarters. It's more than a game, more than a show. It's where football blends culture, economics, and society. Tap in, tune in, and lock in to 100 yards of football now.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA and NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. And don't forget this weekend as the Run to the Roses is on at the Kentucky Derby. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Welcome to 100 Yards of Football. And tonight, we have our legend segment. And man, we got another great legend with us tonight. Former roommate of mine, FSU great cornerback, James Harris. Jay, welcome to the show, bro.
Bobby Love, thank you so much, man. Thank you for having
me. Hey, listen, man. You know the problem that I have? It's a great problem.
Okay.
You know, I played on so many teams when you really think about it, from Pop Warner to high school to FSU. Right. And then when you start dealing with FSU, you're dealing with every class almost, right?
Right, yeah, right.
And so you have to do – and then the NFL, oh, my God, I just played with so many people. And then I played against a lot of my friends, right, that I grew up with. And so I got a ton of people I can interview at any time. And so this month, though, is an FSU month.
Okay.
So we're gonna it's gonna be a tribute to Florida State football and all my great buddies that I played with over the years, man.
It's an honor that you thought of me, my friend.
You're kicking it off, bro.
I appreciate you doing it, man.
So Jay, let's just chop it up, man, because today, you know, I talked to a lot of people today, right, from Florida State about the weeks to come. Talked to a guy from the great city of Gainesville, like you're from Gainesville.
Right.
Guy who was a senior my freshman year, guy named Aaron Carter.
Strunk.
Aaron Carter, 185-pound linebacker his senior year. And I got to put it out. I can't wait to the show. I got to put it out right now. And to this day, he's still the all-time leading tackler in FSU history.
Yes, he is.
I mean, what can you say? But that's the kind of talent you had coming out of Gainesville, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, AC was one of the greats, man. And, you know, we I call him Skrunk. And Skrunk, whatever. Not we, kind of.
Right.
And it's like, what is that? What's that all about? And it's Otis, when we were in that age,
right,
of playing and all that, just before that, Otis Sistrunk was a big name in football.
Big name in football, that's right.
And he was a linebacker for the Oakland Raiders, AC, we called him Skrunk. You know, we just sort of shortened his name to call him that. But he wasn't great. And
that's the thing about being a football player in particular, right? You will get a nickname.
Oh, you're gonna get one.
Somebody's gonna give you a nickname, right? and so since we're talking about nicknames, your nickname is Skull.
Skull.
So how did you get that nickname?
We were sitting around the table, mm-hmm. and Bobby, you know, it was freshman year, so your mm-hmm. sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And you know how the dog day, two-a-days. I mean, we were, my first two-a-days, it was just,
ooh.
And back then, if you remember, we were on a quarter system. So we didn't have people come on campus really until like September. We played three games before we had kids on campus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
But we were at second week of two-a-days, and it was just dragging. We were – and me and your homeboy, Boca High.
Charles Ferguson.
Mike Whiting.
Michael Fish. Oh, man.
White Fish.
Right.
From Largo. Mm-hmm. And Gary Henry, my freshman year roommate.
Right.
Oak Ridge, Orlando. That's right. We were sitting around the table. I mean, we were tired. And Whiting just looked at me and said, you know what your head looks like? You know, because, I mean, big head and all that. He said, you know that poison bottle, that skull and crossbone? That's what your head looked like. Skull.
With the crossbone and skull?
He was, you know, we had the, back then, we set up the tables for dinner. So,
right. Freshman.
Right. Yeah, everybody was in within earshot of some of that, and it stuck. They started calling me Skull, and it stuck. So,
well, I'm going to tell you this. See, now, I thought you got it a different way, right? Okay. I thought you got it because you were always a very physical football player.
Yeah.
And you will always put your hat on somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really thought that's how you got it. You
That was part of it. I mean, that was part of it because by the time, you know, after the first couple of weeks, you know, we had to hit back then. So I was the weak, you were the strong corner. I was the weak corner.
Right.
I was on the right side. I was hitting it up in there, man. I was just showing them that I wasn't no little, I was 170 pounds. So we just had to do what I had to do.
Well, you know, it's amazing, man. It was a special time, James. You know, I can remember. You know, I can tell my story. I don't know quite how your story went, how you got there. I know that it had to be for you the opportunity to play right away because, you know, we had just graduated my freshman year, a senior group of guys.
Right.
I mean, we had Bobby Jackson. We had Nat Terry, who was our leader, free safety. We had, Kincaid was a senior, but he came back for another year. Ivory Joe gets hurt. He come back for another year. But, you know, what was it like for you and why FSU for you?
Well, we'll start with why FSU for me. Mm-hmm. I'm from Gainesville, as you said, and born and raised. Mm-hmm. Only child. My mother's only child. And you know, if you're from Tallahassee,
right,
then if you want to stay close to home, then go to Florida or go to Georgia or somewhere. If you're from Gainesville, you can't go to Florida. I mean, you just can't. Because for me, my mother would have been knocking on the door, Yon Hall, saying, hey, come on, let's go.
Let's do this.
Hey, just because you graduated,
you read your books.
Don't think you're not beyond this, man. So it was just going to be like that. So I wasn't going too far, but I knew I had to go. So putting that space in it. So it just sort of really worked out. And it was Coach Bowden's. We were going into Coach Bowden's. His first season was 76. Uh-huh. Second season was the 77 season, your freshman year. Was the 10-2 season, so it was a great year.
It was a great year.
And, you know, I mean, Florida State, you could tell, was on the come up.
On the rise, right.
And, Coach Bowden came down to – I'm a 78 graduate of Gainesville-Buholz High School. Mm-hmm. And Coach Bowden came down there, and there was just a buzz at the school. And I'm like, wow, okay. And Coach Dickey, whose son was my quarterback.
Right, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Darryl Dickey was a quarterback. He was a sophomore, and he was a quarterback.
Wow.
Coach Dickey wound up, you know, losing to Florida State and that 77 season when he had a ton of great players. I mean, they had Willie Wilder, Earl Card. I mean, they just had a ton of the Gaffney boys, everybody. They had a ton of players. And lost to him in 77, and
got tore up
at Florida Field, 37-9, 37. It was something, you know. It was a mauling. It was great, and I just wanted to be a part of it. You know, I wanted to be a part of it, right. And Coach Bowden, Jack Stanton, Coach Stanton, those guys, I wanted to play and coach. I wanted to play for them and be coached by them.
Right.
Because I knew, I felt what was coming.
Right. So, you know, it's amazing, right? Because I didn't know a lot about Florida State. And, you know, I think every prospect back in that time in the state of Florida, the biggest ticket was the University of Florida.
Sure.
Okay. And so they recruited me, and they told me I could play quarterback. And so, of course, I loved that idea. And I really had my ear lent to Gainesville at that time until I had a buddy who played at my high school, who was a middle linebacker, a guy named Kevin Logan. I don't know if you remember that guy. He was the starter Mike linebacker before Scott Brantley got there.
Okay.
With Atlantic High School, right? Kevin Logan. And Kevin asked me one day in the summer, I was in the weight room. He said, what you think you're going to do? I said, man, I'm coming to Gainesville. They're going to let me play quarterback. He pulled me out the locker room and said, don't do it. They're not going to play you at quarterback. He said, they bring in so many black quarterbacks and, you know, they DBs are wide receivers, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and the way he said it, he was so sincere. I was like, wow, okay. I believed him, right? And then when after I made that decision, I thought that, you know, everybody recruited me on the defensive side, even though I was the smallest thing that anybody ever saw. You know, because my senior year, James, I had 7 picks. I put 6 in the end zone.
Okay.
So of course, you know, I had everybody's attention, you know, because if I catch it, hey, bro, it's gone. I'm out.
His house, yeah.
The only reason I didn't score the 7th one, I was just too tired. I was doing too much in that whole game. I just couldn't do it, right? I didn't have to finish it. But I know for me, when I took the trip, we lost the state championship game my senior year to Bay High School. Mike Smith, another teammate of ours.
Right, sure.
Who was a quarterback on that team, and I was a quarterback at Atlantic. We lost by 1, and after the game, we drove to Tallahassee, and we met Coach Bowden for the first time. And when I met the guy, you know, man, I put it this way. I just fell in love with him. The first meeting I had with him, and of course, Florida State wasn't a big deal at the time, right? But the other thing that Florida State had going for them that was in their favor with me was that my high school quarterback coach had became a graduate assistant at Florida State, a guy by the name of Steve Harden.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I mean, Coach Harden was like this.
Yeah. Right?
We were really close, and, you know, when he was coaching me in Atlantic. And so he really had my ear, right? And then I met Coach Bowden, it was a wrap.
Yeah.
Now, the good news was I met Coach Stanton, but I didn't spend a lot of time with him.
If you just spent a lot of time with him, would you still have come?
Well, he wasn't going to say nothing. He don't care nothing about it. Bro, all he think about is how he going to make me run when I get there. He don't care nothing about all that shake your hand and, man, we hope to get you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Stan don't care nothing about that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I met him. They introduced me to him, and, that, you know, it wasn't even a minute.
Yeah.
And after that, they, because when we went to visit, the student body was off campus. There was no student body there. You know, it was a state championship game. It was in November.
Right.
And so they were going home for the holidays and just me and my parents there. And so after we had that brief meeting with Coach Bowden, then they walked me up to the complex and they handed me off to Ivory Joe. And, you know, Ivory Joe from Tallahassee, him and Abe were roommates. Abe Smith.
Yeah.
And I never get it. It was a great time. But Ivory Joe showed me around. And I loved Ivory Joe, right? He took me out that night. We went to some nightclub. And I think it was in Midtown between Quincy and Tallahassee. I forget what that club was called. But anyway.
Out with 2A.
Out on 20, going toward Quincy.
Yeah, it was 2A. Well, the name of the club wasn't 2A, but it was Columbo's. Was it Columbo's?
Columbo's.
Columbo's.
Bro, I went to Columbo's and the band was hopping that night. We just had a good time.
Yeah.
I met Ivory Joe people. They remind me so much of my own people, you know, because all my people from Madison, Florida, and Quincy on my mom's side. You know, my granddad's from Madison, and then my mother's side, the boy's side, they're from Quincy. So, you know, I just felt at home with Ivory Joe people, and I had a really good visit. And then after that visit, James, I went to East Lansing, Michigan State, in January of 1977.
Uh-oh. South Florida boy, South Florida boy, Palm Beach County boy.
Hey, make that clear. Not Florida, South Florida. So, you know, I had one jacket to my name.
Uh-oh.
The old high school Letterman jacket, right? I go up there, James. I see snow for the first time.
Wow.
So my mind, my eyes like this already. It was so cold. I said, ain't no way in the world. So they took us to the stadium. And the coaches were selling it. They were selling it. well, you know, if you come here, we put almost 100,000 in here. All I can see was that white pile out there on that ground in the beach. I said, man, not me. I ain't come up here. So after that trip, I decided for myself, that's it. I know what I want to do. I'm going to play for Coach Bowden. And it was a wrap.
Yeah.
And then I looked at guys like Bobby Jackson, even though Bo Jack was he was bigger than me. You know, he was shorter than me. He was weighing 180 pounds. But, you know, he wasn't no big guy, big guy. Ivory Joe probably was about 190, I think. And so with that being the case, man, I just, you know, I was at home.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bob. I was telling my wife something.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, so I just felt at home. And it worked for me.
The music.
Yeah, yeah.
My son has this thing going on. We can hear it. But no, I'm sorry. My story is somewhat similar, except Coach Stanton was he recruited me.
Oh my God, really? Yeah,
he recruited me. So
you gotta tell me how that went.
No, I was good. Coach Bowden came down and closed. He closed. I'm telling you. I mean, he took me in my principal's office, and it was like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to Florida. I'm going to Florida. I did the same thing when I went down, and the coach at the time, the University of Miami, was Lou Saban.
Mm-hmm.
And he got me in the office, and he said, and I went down with my teammate and homeboy,
right,
Fred Marion. You know Fred.
Yes, sir.
And he, Fred went in first, Coach Saban.
Mm-hmm.
Fred comes out, you know, and we're going to Florida.
Right.
So I came out. Mm-hmm. Fred came out. I went in, sat down. He said, Coach Saban said, James, I know what Fred's going to do. He's coming to Miami. What you going to do? What's all right, man? I had to pivot a little bit, and but Coach Bowden, he got me in the principal's office in 5 minutes, and he said, "So Jay, what you think? What? I'm coming, Coach. I'm sitting 3 miles from Florida Field.
Mm-hmm. Wow!
And I was just done. You know, I was happy. No problem.
Right.
So it was just that easy, you know. I mean,
right,
being recruited nationally and all of that. Mm-hmm. But once again, it's cut down quite a bit when you know that I'm not going out of the Southeast.
I'm not going that far.
Right. So it took care of a lot of that.
Right.
Mom was a graduate of FAMU.
Right.
So
right.
I had some relationships in Tallahassee. And all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So she can get to me, I can get back to her, kind of thing. And so it was just, and then I came up, and I can't remember what game it was, but it was actually cold up in Tallahassee. It was the latter part.
Was it homecoming? Was it North Texas State? Or was it Memphis State?
I think it might have been Memphis State. It was the latter part of the
cold
season.
It was cold.
It was cold in that, bro. I mean, it was cold.
I'm talking about cold. And the team's cold.
Cold. I mean, it was kind
of cold that night. I remember.
So we, had a good time and all of that, but still at the time wasn't coming. And but had a great time. Sam Platt was
our
around.
Oh my gosh! Please.
I think we got like $25 traveling money or something like that for coming up, because I drove up. Wow. Yeah, please, I don't know what happened. But Larry Keyes, you know, he touches the ball and the keys are jingling, you know,
Bruh,
and that float on.
That was a heck of an experience, man.
Oh yeah. And float on, and float on was a show enough man.
But then
what beat that, Bobby, as you know, was my freshman year, your sophomore year, was the beginning of Chief Osceola and Renegade. I mean, 78 season, I think, was their first season when they showed up.
That's right.
So it was a great time. You know, we freshman year, we went 8-3.
Yeah.
You know, we're waiting on the Gator Bowl, which at the time was probably the number 5 bowl after January 1 bowls. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, 8-3. We're trying to get waiting on the Gator Bowl and missed out on the Peach Bowl.
So, exactly.
And went home. We were home for the holidays.
You know, it's funny, right? When I tell people that about that year, we were 8-3 and we didn't go to a bowl game. You know, you can win 4 games now and go to a bowl game.
Oh, sure. Sure.
We were 8-3. But I tell you what, though, because when you came in as a freshman, you get some playing time as a freshman, right?
Yeah, I got a little, but, you know, Ivory Joe was there, Moe's there, Kincaid.
Kincaid came back. Because I was hurt on and off my sophomore year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Hector Gray.
Hector was there, but it was the beginning of, you know, KJ, Monk, yourself, Ivory Joe.
Right.
That was the main rotation. Mm-hmm. Oh, Moe's. That was Kincaid, that was the main rotation. Mm-hmm. And Coach, you know, during Mickey's time in the early Jackson 83, so late 80s, early 90s, you know, Mickey would play 12 defensive backs in a game. Mickey would play a ton of DBs.
Right.
Great, you know, he had a great talent and all of that.
Right.
You know, Jack got about 5 guys ready to play.
And that's gonna be it.
That's about it.
And
we got a problem.
Right. And so and even in that time, we really didn't play no nickel.
No. Oh no.
It's going to be 4 guys. You're going to have 4 guys.
5 guys. That was just in case somebody got hurt.
Somebody got hurt.
That's just in case somebody got hurt. We were, you know, most offenses were still a pro style 2-back offense back then, you know, it still was.
That's right. That's right.
So it's, you know, 4 DBs.
4 DBs, man.
Right? Everybody else is linebacker, lineman.
Well, I tell you what was a blessing for us, though. I mean, when our group, my class, you know, Monk, Keith, myself, Ron Simmons, Ken Lanier, Ernie Sims, Sam Platt, Holmes Johnson, you know, that whole group, right?
Great bunch of guys, great players.
Great bunch of guys, but as sophomores, we really got a chance to be out there all the time, right?
Yeah.
So our freshman year, you know, I played a little bit. Ron was a starter. Ken was a starter. Ernie Sims played as a freshman. So the 4 of us, you know, got some burn. Just enough, you know, that next year we were ready to go, right? And then I get hurt the week before the first game, sprain my ankle. Because I don't know if you remember, Skull, they had me playing free safety at the time.
I remember.
I was playing free safety, right? Yeah. And I get hurt the week before the first game in a scrimmage. And then they tried to nurse me and get me back. And so they put me at corner. I guess they figured, and I think that was a smart move. There's no way I was going to play free safety on a bum ankle.
Right.
You know, you can get away with it out wide, you know, but when you got to be in the mix of things, that's a whole different animal.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so, and then you and Gary came and, you know, and y'all came right into the fold and started to get that time too, right? So that after the sophomore year, my junior year, your sophomore year, bruh.
Yeah.
Bruh.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It was no joke. We weren't playing.
No, we weren't playing. We were getting around the ball. We were not nearly as talented as other teams and all of that, top teams, which we were a top team.
Right.
But we understood team. We understood getting after the ball. We understood laying the hat. I mean, it was just – we enjoyed each other and we enjoyed playing ball.
We did.
I think now you think back about your time there. Mm-hmm. You know, these kids now, and they deserve everything they're getting and more. Mm-hmm. But these kids can only practice like 20 hours a week or something.
I know, right? What's mind-boggling to me? That messes me up. So,
Bobby, we walking up the field. I mean, 2-a-days, we're walking up the hill. This is before they put the stairs in. We're walking up that clay hill at 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, to walk back down the next morning at 6:30, 7 o'clock.
It's 6:30 though, all right? Hey, it was a different time.
It's a different time.
But, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, and you know this. We're going to talk about Coach Stanton in a minute, but we really was coached well, but extremely hard.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We were coached well. You know, Coach Stanton was our defense coordinator and DB coach. One thing I can say about him, he didn't have no favorites.
No.
He coaches all the same. He coaches all hard. Even the great Keith Jones almost quit with four games left our senior year. Yeah. You remember that?
I remember that. KJ
had
to do those up downs. He didn't appreciate doing those up downs.
What happened was, I'm gonna tell you exactly what happened. You remember when we had a loaf in a game?
Oh yeah.
And what that discipline like was on Monday. And so what we did for every loaf, we had to backpedal in 20-yard intervals up and back. Mm-hmm. Right? And Coach Stan will get 3 yards in front of us. And we had to be low for it to count. I mean, the back pedal had to be a good back pedal.
Yeah.
You couldn't be high racing, trying to go fast. You had to be in a good stance. You had to be low. And he was trying to catch us. And we got so good at it, he couldn't catch nobody.
Yeah.
And on his face, I saw his little son Steve, because how determined Steve used to be.
Yeah.
Coach Stan was just like that. He was trying to catch. And we started laughing at him. And I'll never forget it. About a week later, we're getting ready to do our loafs. He said, we're going to do something new today. And so here's what we did, James. For every loaf, 100 yards up, 100 yards back, he blew the whistle. We had to, every 5 yards, turn a somersault, a flip. Yeah. You know, so we were drunk before we got halfway going up. Right? We were drunk, getting ready to throw up and everything. So we had to go up. And then you had to come back 100 yards.
Yeah.
Turn a flip every 5 yards. So that's 20 times, right?
Yeah.
So Keith Jones had it. I can't do this. Right? So Keith, don't go nowhere, man. We ain't got before games. He's an academic All-American. Bro, you can't go nowhere.
KJ was. Right? Yeah.
So he was that guy. You know, he coached us hard. But the thing I loved about him more than anything, and I give him a lot of credit for this, especially my career after I left, was the details to technique, right? So when we were in film, he grading everything. If you're not lowering your back pedal, he's going to give you a minus for technique.
Right.
And so I remember in the game, I would consciously stay low. So you would lower that back pedal. But then, when you go and watch yourself in the film, when you're low, and we used to wear them long white socks, you look good. Right? So I watched the tape, I said, oh, man, I'm looking good, right? And so you appreciate that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then, when it came to the fundamentals of the game, planting and driving the ball as a corner, I'm going to be all over it because I'm in my track stance because I'm low. You know, I got great balance because I'm low, right? I'm not too high. I'm not taking extra steps. You know, so he had me right. I tell people all the time.
Yeah.
I thank God for that, man, because, you know, he pushed us all to a level. Put it this way, James, we couldn't have done that on our own.
No. I agree. And mm-hmm. I think that during our time, mm-hmm. you were, I mean, yeah, you had it. You had that lean that you... You bent over, you got your low, all of that. I mean, you got. I, on the other hand, was not as smooth as you. I was okay, mm-hmm. but I just wasn't as smooth and as quick in the transition as you. And then my senior year, we played up at Ohio State, and I got my ankle rolled bad, and it was a problem throughout the rest of the season.
Right.
But. I got to tell you, Bobby, I would have liked to have seen, and I know it maybe began to change during your time in the league, but I would have loved to have seen you play now because these guys, it's like, just run with it. I mean, don't try.
Right.
You don't even have to try and knock him off his route.
Right.
Just run with it.
Right.
Stay within hands, but just run with it. Man. And look back for the ball and all the little techniques that they have now, man. I think that you'd have been fantastic. But no, Jack prepared us for not only for football, but for life. He really, you know, I was a graduate assistant for him at 83. And he was just one of those guys that just, I told him one time that I had the DBs doing something. That I had them doing something. I don't know what it was. You know, they could, coaches couldn't be on the field in summertime.
Right.
So he sent me that. I was supposed to send him through something. He had somebody checking. I didn't do it. And I'm telling you, man, he didn't get upset. He didn't do anything. But he gave me one of those, James, in life, you know, people are going to have to trust your word. I mean, oh, my goodness, man. It's like, okay, it's on now.
It's on now.
And it wasn't me. It was these guys talking me out of doing what I was supposed to be doing. Yeah, Jay, come on, man. You were just in this position 2 years ago, man. Come on. You know how it is.
You know how it is.
All right. Okay, then. Forget all of that now. It was on and popping. I was there from that point on. Because I disappointed him.
Right.
Exactly. And he let me know that, you know, this is one of those life lessons. I just sort of sensed that at that time. And it was for me.
Well, you know, you think about it, James, too. At your age at that time, and at my age at that time, I really didn't put it all together in my mind how good he was for me. Right?
Yeah.
I probably would have did the same thing you did. I probably try to give these guys a break sometimes. Right? You know, because you know how he pushed us, right? How he did those things, right? You know, but as I went through my career, when I came to Atlanta and started playing with the Falcons, it was different. Now, my first 2 years, I got a real coach. Jerry Glanville was hard, but he had a personality, right? Jack didn't have that kind of personality.
Right.
But Glanville had a superstar personality, and he was a pusher the same way, which was great for me. But then in 83, they fired everybody, and then they brought in a guy who was a great NFL player. He was an older coach named Jack Christensen. And he coached us. He coached me in 83, had just came from Seattle, had been coaching Kenny Easley. So he came to Atlanta coaching, and he was an NFL Hall of Famer, corner, right? And got cancer and died. And then we hired Coach Stanton, right? Coach Stanton came Atlanta in 84, coached me 2 years in Atlanta, 84 and 85, right? But when Coach Stanton came here as a pro, because I knew it was going to be hard for him.
Yeah, it wasn't even.
That we had.
Yeah.
You know, because you gotta buy in, right? I don't care what a coach is doing. You got to buy in. If you get your players to buy in and not buck what you're doing, you can do some great things.
Right.
I really believe that. Because when you bring that team together, everybody got to be on the same page. Everybody's got to be on one accord. And if the players can come together and can take instruction from the guy who's coaching, it's no telling how good you can be. I mean, I just think back, you know, we were in Tallahassee my junior year. We had the number one defense in the country. Nobody had scored on us in fourth quarter. And here was the last game of the season in Tallahassee. And we're playing Florida. And the fourth quarter, they're first and goal on the 1 yard line. Now, the way we worked, we stopped them guys on the first down. And I remember everybody patting everybody on the butt. Good job. We stopped on the second down. And you can see a little bit more energy. Everybody giving a high five. We stopped them on the third down, and now the fans going crazy, right? They hadn't been scored on the whole game, all year, the fourth quarter, right?
Right.
Here it is, fourth and goal. They go for it. And I don't know if it was you or who. I think we pinched. We did a pinch with the corners. And we come up. I don't know if you grabbed somebody's legs. We come up with a great play on the goal line. And we went out like we had just won a national championship. But it was that little thing that was so important for us.
Yeah.
And you needed somebody like Jack to get it out of you, you know, to make that be important, first of all. I mean, if you're winning games, you may say, who cares if they score in the fourth quarter? We did, right?
Yeah.
We did, right? And so that was big. And so when you get everybody on the same page and they get on one accord and they start doing what they're supposed to do, everybody taking care of their own responsibility, yep. Everybody, and this is the most important thing for me, everybody loving on each other.
Yeah, yeah. I believe that.
You know, the way you and Monk played the boundary, right?
Yeah.
Y'all had it down to the science.
Yeah.
Y'all had it down to the science. You know how to depend on him and he know how to depend on you, right? Shoot, Monk led the nation pretty much when using the lineup at free safety.
He did. Interceptions, right. Absolutely.
And I'm going to tell you how that happened. I'm going to tell you how it happened. Because your cover two technique in the boundary made it happen. Mm-hmm. Those receivers were not running down the field scot-free because, you know, they go out and run Monk.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. All
that
four
jam,
nine. Yeah.
That jam you was putting on them in them 5 yards.
Yeah.
I call it cover two, but it was 55.
Right.
So that was it, the way we played together. And me and Keith, the way Keith meant, listen, man, Keith Jones was special to me, right? Because he knew how to rob the curl. He knew how to do things in a passing game as a strong safety. And I knew where he was going to be. He was going to be there, too.
Right.
And I knew how to play on top in certain situations, right? He'll be right underneath that curl. I'll be on top of it just in case it's not a curl, it's a post, right? And we play so well together, man. We play so well together in the secondary. It was priceless.
One of the things that I remember my freshman year coming in, you know, they got us, especially defensively, mm-hmm. Stanton got us so focused. If you remember, and I don't know if it was Coach Bowden or Coach Stanton or whatever that started this, but we ran fifths, but we called them Sio-canes. And it's like the first three games, Syracuse, Oklahoma State, and Miami.
That's
Sio-canes. That's where it came from. And it's like, if we get past these first three games, we're going to be a good program. We're going to be good. Okay. And so the fifths were like at the end of practice. I mean, we just dog. And you know, I hated running fifths. But the reason I hated, I wanted to start quickly after my freshman. I wanted to start as quickly as I could after my freshman year.
Right.
Because the last group, before we run the Sio-canes, mm-hmm. is what we call the first team, the Chiefs, the second team, the Braves.
Right. That's right.
Braves were the ones that sort of finished practice. Right. So that meant if I'm on the second team, then I'm going directly from this long
to this 2 minute drill
to the fifth. And I mean, these were long. This wasn't goal lines. I can take goal line stand.
Oh, that's simple. Like,
they
right?
throwing this. They throwing the bombs, and I'm running 50, 60 yards.
Especially, you know, with our group.
They throwing the bombs. So I'm running 50 yards, and now I got to go do that. I only missed one time, and I never missed again because I had to run two of them because of that. That was the Sio-canes.
Right.
But my first, and I said that to say, mm-hmm. it was about, there was a lot of team building going on. And I say that when we played Syracuse, we went to Syracuse the first game.
First game of the season,
freshman year. Mm-hmm. Art Monk, who played for the Dolphins, was a running back.
Art Monk played for the Redskins.
I'm sorry, my bad.
Yeah. Hall of Fame receiver for the Redskins.
Yeah. I was thinking about, what's the brother from University of Florida that played for Miami?
Nat. You're talking about Nat.
Nat Moore.
Nat Moore, right.
Mm-hmm. Same size, all that. But mm-hmm. so, and they had this great quarterback named Bill Hurley.
He was
a great quarterback who lasted about two quarters with us because we injured him second or third, and you know,
gone.
He was gone. I think he was gone for the season, if not. But he was a great quarterback. But the night before that, mm-hmm. Coach Stanton. We broke up in groups, and I don't know if it was the whole team mm-hmm. or just the defense, mm-hmm. but I think it may have been just the defense. We watched some film or something like that, mm-hmm. and this was my first road trip. I'd never, you know, first road trip,
right.
You know, I hadn't, other than taking some other than my first, I don't know if we were talking about this. I was talking with someone about this. My first flight was in sixth grade with patrols going up to D.C.
Going to D.C., right.
That was my first flight. So after that, you know, had a few flights in recruiting and all that. But, you know, so we flew up there, but I'd never flown on a plane. Well, I did with the sixth graders. But this was my team. This was the team going up there. Never flown on like this.
Right.
And, you know, get on the bus, police escort, all of that.
All that stuff.
All that stuff. You know, did walkthroughs, right, got on the field. Right. And then we came in, we watched the film, we did, got ready for the next day. And then Stan sort of started talking about, and I don't even know what he was saying, but he got intense.
Right.
And, you know, and he could be intense.
He can be intense.
Right. And it was like, dang, man, it was the energy in there. Right. It was just like, and then when you go out, folks don't understand. When you get the next day, Coach Bowden can have you ready to run through a wall before a game.
Bro,
I'm just saying, Coach Bowden, wall, right? Like, man. So it's like, Coach, let him, and you, I remember you saying this. And it's not there at that time, but, you know, we would come out of our locker room, they close the gates, and we'd be in the little tunnel, I mean, in the little area.
Right. Underneath.
And I remember you yelling, like, let him out. Release the hounds.
Let's go.
You know, it was intense, man. Thrilling, man. You know, it was intense.
You know, James, there's a lot of great moments for us at FSU. You know, we can sit here for 5 hours and talk about a lot of great moments. But there was one moment, your sophomore year, that was special. We played South Carolina in Tallahassee for homecoming. And I think they were 8-0 and we were 8-0. We were, I think, number 6 at the time or something like that, I think. And they were ranked somewhere in the top 10. And, of course, they had the great George Rogers. And we were sitting in the dugout getting ready to go. Bust out of there, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the lights went off. You remember this?
Mm.
The lights went off in the stadium. And the chief Osceola was on Renegade. And they put fire on the spear.
Oh.
And the Seminole head at the 50-yard line had fire on the outskirts.
Wow.
And he went out there like that on that horse in the dark, you know. And when he got to that circle with fire, he threw that spear right in the middle. That place went crazy. So of course, we won the game. I met George personally. After the end, 2 years later, when we were all coming out, getting ready to go pro, and they would take us to certain places. And man, we were somewhere sitting, and all of a sudden, George looked at me and he said, "Man, I don't know what happened that night, but I was so scared. I ain't never been that scared in my life. Y'all put the lights out on us out there, man." I said, "You remember that?" He said, "Yeah, we cut the lights on, and that man came on that horse with that fire on that spear and threw that thing. And that place went crazy." He said, "I thought we were done right then."
Yeah.
It was over. So we had some grand moments. I mean, we can talk about things like that. James, we can talk about the great wins we had, like in Nebraska, you know, planting those two Orange Bowls, going to LSU your sophomore year when nobody really didn't know about us, you know, like that, right? And we went to LSU and choked them. Right.
Beat them 4 years in a row.
In Baton Rouge.
Right. Each time was played in Baton Rouge.
We never played in Tallahassee.
Never.
Never played in Tallahassee. And then you think about, some people consider this the greatest game. But I think probably in my time, the biggest win, if you had to say one, it would have to be the Nebraska game out in Nebraska.
Absolutely.
We beat them at the end of the game, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, there was... Look, the energy that we had during that game, the energy that we, you know, that the small crowd that we, just the few people that we had that went. But also, these Nebraska fans appreciated seeing a good football game. I mean, they were like, you know, because Nebraska was killing people. I mean, they're just running people up out of that stadium.
Well, that was those years, man, when Nebraska, you know, they had got I Am Hip. They had... Johnny Rogers. They had a top 10 team, you know, for years.
It was I Am Hip, your senior year, and it was
Roger Craig.
I was about to say Jarvis Redwine, but it was Roger Craig. Senior year,
and they had Jarvis Redwine the year before.
Yeah, that's right. Jarvis was there.
Redwine came out with me, right?
Yeah, so I mean, they were loaded.
And we go there and we win the game.
Man, it's Tom Osborne, man.
And the great Tom Osborne coaching, Tom man. Osborne. But then the next week, we backed it up.
Yeah.
Because Pitt came to Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Which some people think that Pitt team and the LSU team a few years ago probably was the most talented college teams ever played a game.
Yeah.
You think about that Pitt team, that was my senior year that we beat them in Tallahassee with Marino being a quarterback. He was a sophomore.
Yeah.
But that team had Ricky Jackson, Ricky, who
you know from Palm Beach County, but right. Ricky and my wife were first cousins, so I see him all the time.
Wow.
I see him and talk about that, but yeah, Ricky.
The champ. So you had those two guys. You had Ricky Mark Hugh Lane. Green. You had Russ Grimm.
Jimbo.
Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
You had Carlton Williamson, who was a third round pick for the 49ers, Super Bowl winner, right?
Yeah.
So you had 16 draft choices on that team. From my senior year, we're not talking about Marino and the rest of them. We're just talking from my senior year. So yeah. They probably had about 40 pro players on that team that we smashed in Tallahassee, right?
Yeah.
And so we put it all together to win out. We had one loss to Miami, which I'm still trying to figure out how did that happen, right? So we had a fluke loss by a point in the Orange Bowl against a 7-4 Miami team. And we went out, beat Nebraska was ranked number 3 when we beat them. Then Pitt went into the number 3 spot and we beat them the next week. We went out, Georgia undefeated, number 1 in the country. We're ranked number 2. And when the bowl bids came out, they chose Notre Dame to go play Georgia in the Sugar Bowl.
Mm-hmm. It was Dan Devine's last game as Notre Dame's head coach. I mean, just the optics from a, you know, TV standpoint, you know, that's just going to win out kind of thing versus this.
Well, yeah, it wins out. That's what I never liked about college football.
Yeah.
College football is a great sport, great game, but March Madness is how it should be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you think about March Madness, St. Petersburg came in and forget the politics because nobody, it put it this way, it was only 4 teams. All them great teams that we saw would have never made, you know, the tournament if it was just 4 teams, right? And so you saw St. Petersburg almost upset the whole nation, right? You saw a North Carolina team who was not even in the top 4 when the tournament started play for the national title, right? So on any given day, man, you know, teams can put it together and do something special.
Oh, no, we were going to – if we had been playing – and we played a great game that night. Actually,
we did.
But
we did.
I remember because you and I were we were rooming at the time,
right?
Mm-hmm. Even down there in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, Georgia scored. I don't know if it was a field goal or a touchdown, but I think it was a field goal, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia kicked off to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're watching this before we leave.
Before we right, exactly.
Georgia kicks off to Notre Dame. Notre Dame lets the ball bounce between two return men inside the 5-yard line. Georgia recovers the ball.
Game over.
It's either 10 or 14 nothing.
Game over.
It's done. And they didn't win by that much.
Right.
Now we would have done. Hey.
Oh. Hey. Man, let me tell you.
We don't make those cuts.
Well, one of the things I can say about our team, right, and this is why I know we would have beat Georgia. First of all, I think my last 2 years, we were number 1 and, what, number 2 or 3 defense in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody runs the football on us.
No.
You may luck up one time like George Rogers did. He had one good play in the game, right? We'll give him that one, right? But typically, a running back don't even finish a game against us.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I knew, they were not going to throw the football on us.
Yeah.
They're not going to throw the football. The best receiver was like a 4.6 40 guy. Because I played against him at the Saints, Lindsey Scott.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm just telling you. You know, it would have went our way. I really believe.
Yeah, no. Herschel was a true freshman.
He's a true freshman.
There would have been game tackling. I mean, you know, we like little pit. We weren't the biggest. We like little pit bulls, but we were all on you.
The way we used to bring that
thump, we coming
that tie-eye, right?
Hell yeah.
Now, when we look at the Oklahoma game, Oklahoma had one advantage on us, right? We were a great unit. Oklahoma was a great football team with superior athletes.
Yeah.
And so when you're playing that edge game the way they played the edge game, you know, the guys who had the quarterback, J.C. Watts was a special dude. You know, you couldn't contain J.C. Watts. And then if Billy Sims got the corner, you had problems, right?
Well, you know, that's why we lost 24-7 the year before, because that was Billy Sims. That year, it was the brother from Miami. He was
Buster
a freshman.
Ryan. Buster
Ryan. Yeah, right. I'm Buster sorry. Ryan. You right. did. So, yeah, I mean, it was Buster and Stanley Wilson that year. You know,
and they didn't do anything. We didn't shut them down. If I remember right, we had them in the fourth quarter. They only had 45 yards rushing.
Yeah. I'll tell you, we lost two games by 1 point each in the Orange Bowl.
Both the same,
1 point each game in the Orange Bowl.
Oh my God.
That year, that was it. And I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't anybody's fault. It just was. Gary Henry, our punt returner against Miami, Gary had bad ankle. He had the turf shoe, high top turf shoes.
I remember.
Versus cleats. And the turf shoes were, you know, he was finna make a cut to take this ball to the house. It was a touchdown.
He was gone. Okay. Right.
That's one. We would have won. Okay. Oklahoma. I'm sorry.
Oklahoma, too.
What's the quarterback name again? I'm sorry.
J.C. Watt.
J.C. can run, but he can't. J.C. throws a duck.
A duck.
I mean, it's third or fourth down and long. He throws it may have been second or third down, but he throws a duck all about 30 yards. Gary, same turf shoes.
Flips
on the break because he would have picked this ball.
He'd have picked the ball off.
He'd have picked the ball.
He could have fair caught it. He could have fair caught the ball.
Yeah, this was wobbling. It was ugly.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, I mean, it's football. That's why it's football, man. You know, I mean, that's why it's football. But he slipped. Those shoes, I'm telling you, Gary was a player.
Hey, listen, Gary was a game changer.
Yeah, Gary was a player.
Gary was a game changer. You know, I don't know if you remember this or you know anything about the story. I got to tell you the Gary Henry story, right? Because when I came to Tallahassee, my theory was, okay, I'm not playing offense no more. I'm going to return punt. I don't know who they got, but they ain't got nobody who can run punts like me.
Yeah.
And so I came as a true freshman, and Bojack and Blade were punt returners. And Bojack really was banged up my whole freshman year. He had hamstring issues. And I'm looking down there, bruh, if they give me this opportunity, it's going to be a wrap. When I get it, I'm out. Skull. One practice, I go down to start shagging punts, and Coach Stanton meet me. He said, Bobby, I'm going to tell you right now. He said, ain't no freshman going to return no punts for me. And he said, now, if you want to help the team, and I don't know why he went off on me like this. He said, you can take your little blankety blank ASS down on the other side and learn how to block them kicks. You see them down there laying out? And I had a moment. James, I had a moment. Here was my moment. Last year, I was a white-collar football player. I wore a red jersey in practice. You couldn't hit me in practice for 3 years in high school football. I was a quarterback. I played defense, but I didn't have to tackle in practice.
Right.
I didn't do anything physically in practice except throw the ball. That was the most physical I got in practice, throwing the football, right? And it hit me. I'm not a white-collar football player no more. because I got to go down here and lay out and die on this ground. Because remember, during our time, Skull, we didn't have no pads. We were laying out on the ground.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In practice, live.
Oh, yeah.
And when you don't know how to do it, you hitting your face and your head first on that ground. Bam!
Hey, been there, done that. Been there, done that. You know, you get that face plant and your body just keeps going up in the air kind of thing. Yeah, been there, bro.
But look how we were coached. Yeah. I took it up. And accepted to this day, challenge. I'm still the all-time kick blocker in FSU history.
Wow, I didn't know that.
When it comes to field goals and punts.
Wow.
I'm still the number one guy. Because we used to go for them all the time.
I had that same experience with Coach Stanton. You know, I was like yourself, brother. I was 3A. Buholz was 3A, but I was the first team All State tailback.
Right, right.
And all, but I never was going to play tailback. I was just in the position. I was going to play DB. But I was actually a better baseball player than I was a football player. I was a hell of a baseball player.
Wow, okay.
And, Florida State had a great baseball team, Mike Martin, all of that. So I told, I said, Coach Stanton, thinking about, you know, sometime during, I think about, you know, trying out for the baseball team.
Right, right.
Did you come in and play baseball or football? I mean, you know, because I need football players.
Well, you know, it's funny, right? I'm laughing because, you know, of course I had the same experience with track, right?
Yeah.
So I never forget it, man. Me and Walt, the end of, it was Walt's last, it was the end of my sophomore year. We had just completed spring practice, right? You were a freshman.
Yeah.
We just completed spring practice. And we had that free time between then and when school was out. And so we would go to Tully Gym and shoot hoop, right?
Yeah.
And so me and Walt Gator, you know, the old group, we'll go over there and we'll shoot hoop. And we walked over there to Tully. Nobody's in the gym. Nobody's in there. Not one person in there shooting nothing. So like, where everybody at? Because, you know, typically it's full. So we go outside and look across the street, and the track was full of people. So we walked over there to see what was going on. They were having intramural track.
Mm.
So I told Walt, I said, man, I'm a long jump. He said, man, you can't long jump. I said, bruh, I'm finna go ahead and long jump, right? So I get in the long jump pit, won the long jump, and Coach Roberts was standing by the pit when I jumped. And he said, Butler, we need you on the track team. And I told him, I said, yeah, I wouldn't mind, I'll long jump, but I'm not going to run because, you know, they had Mike Robeson, they had Keith and Kevin Johnson, they had Ron Nelson. Cyril White was gone then. But, you know, Walter McCoy, we were loaded on the track team. And I ran against those guys in high school, and I'm going, hey, they ain't no joke, right? So I got on the track team the end of my junior year. Coach Bowden allowed me to do it. I skipped mat drills.
Mm-mm.
But evidently he made a deal with Jack that I had to go through all the spring football stuff. Now, I don't know if you remember this, Scott. One Saturday, we had a scrimmage. And you know what scrimmage was, 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
I had to do all the scrimmage, and then I had a track meet at 4 o'clock.
I remember that. I do remember that.
A long jump. I ran the 4x1, I was running 100 meters, and I was running 200 meters, right? And the first running event was a 4x1. I got through that, but when I was running it, because I ran the leadoff leg at that time, you know, my body, I was just beat up from scrimmaging all day. I didn't have it. I can tell I didn't have it, right? Then I go down there and get in the blocks in 100 meters, pop the gun, and I pop my hamstring.
Mm.
Now, I can't do track, and I can't do no football. Right. And so he just could not let us go to do anything but grind all day. Yeah. Right?
That's what it was. That's fine. That's what he was about, man. And then, hey, after all day, after all that practice, after everything, Jack would go out there and run about 2 miles himself. You know what I'm saying?
Himself, right. Exactly.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, and that's the thing. I don't think he always pushed himself just as much as he pushed up.
Even as a coach, he did. He did that, really. I mean, he worked hard. He worked hard at his craft.
No, I was his GA. And mm-hmm. I'm telling you, there were times I didn't walk out of that building until 2 o'clock in the morning. Absolutely. And he was right there with me. He didn't, Jack didn't play that, you know.
He didn't play. But you know what though, James, I'm gonna tell you this, man. I love Jack Stanton.
Yeah.
You know, I know without him, my story can't be told the way it's told. You know, I'm so thankful that I had him 4 years in college. And I'm thankful that he came to Atlanta those 2 years because, see, my mind was, we were losing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what was going on. I was mad with my teammates. You know, we lose a game. Now, we lost a game, man. It's like somebody had died. Yeah. You know, like we had a funeral. We ain't talked for 3 or 4 days, right? Shooting Atlanta, they lose a game. They're out there in the parking lot drinking beer after the game. I'm like, yeah. I can't be around these kind of guys, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're having a good time already. They don't feel it.
Yeah.
So it was tough for me. But then Jack came. And for the first time, I started having grown man conversations with him, which was special for me because, you know, you remember the coach in college, the way he was. He didn't have no grown folk conversation for 18, 20-year-old, right? But as a pro, I mean, I really appreciate how he coached me here and how he got me back on track because I was getting ready to lose it.
Yeah.
And the Lord knew that. I really believe the Lord, he came here just 2 seasons.
Yeah.
He was just here 2 seasons. I mean, they didn't do anything.
I can hear Jack now, you know, damn it to hell, Bobby. So yeah, it's, you know, that's Jack.
Hey, I like one thing, and we're about doing the show, but I like one thing about him. When he tells a story about me returning punts, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you know, he wanted to return punts because, you know, I don't know if you know this or not. Your freshman year, no. Your sophomore year, my junior year, when I was healthy, you know, Gary was doing a good job, right? And but I told him, I said, shoot, man, Gary Henry's not the punt returner. I'm the punt returner. I mean, I was on Coach Stanton. I was talking to Coach Stanton like I was talking to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coach, I'm telling you right now, that's my job. And so G was returning punts. So the first game, I think we played Southern Miss my junior year, your sophomore year. And losing. I think we're down by 4. And G catch one and put it in the end zone. We win the game. So after the game, I went to Jack. I said, that don't mean nothing. I said, bro, I'm the punt returner. I mean, I'm talking to Jack. And you know, I don't talk like that. But I'm talking I meant that thing because my whole deal when I came to college, okay, I know I'm playing defense now. But some kind of way,
you want touchdowns, baby.
I gotta get that ball some kind of way. I gotta get my hands on that ball, right?
Yeah.
So that was my thinking, and the only way for me to do that was on punt returns. You know, they're gonna use the receivers for kickoff returns, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that's me. So we go and we play Miami in a week or two. G caught one, put one in the end zone. G caught another punt and went all the way down to the 5-yard line. After that game, I stopped talking to Coach Stanton. And I said, I guess I'm a god doggone punt blocker now.
Yeah, you barked up the wrong tree with that one. Hey, by the way, Bobby,
mm-hmm.
your last game at Florida State
mm-hmm.
was Oklahoma after the second Orange Bowl, your senior season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did you weigh out? What was your weight as you weighed out? Because we had to weigh in and out.
My senior year, I had got up to 155. I was a 155 my senior year.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm always losing about 8 to 10 pounds in a practice or a game. And it was amazing because when I came, I only weighed 145.
Wow.
That's what I weighed as a true freshman. I gained 10 pounds in college.
Right? Mm.
And when I was doing the NFL thing before the draft, they had 4 different locations. They would send the top 100 players, right? And so they did everything alphabetical order. So when they came to weigh, it would always be James Brooks in front of me, and I'm behind James Brooks. Brooks, Butler, right? In that order. James will get on the scale. Let's go, he'll weigh 159, 160 pounds. And the coach, I never get the first time we did it, the coaches started laughing. James got pissed. He started going on. I said, I'm gonna show all y'all. Y'all think I'm small? I'm gonna show all y'all. I'm like, well, okay, now I wasn't gonna say that, but then I'll come up next, buck 55. Both of us got drafted in the first round. Mm-hmm. Both of us had 12-year NFL careers. Mm-hmm. And he was a running back. He was a running back. And the thing about the way he played, James, and you know this, he wasn't a scat back. He can scat back, but he wanted to run you over. He's going to look you up.
Brooks from Auburn?
He played at Auburn. But guess who he played high school ball with?
No, who?
Ron Simmons. They played Warner Robins together.
Warner Robins. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That was you know, these guys now, I mean, it just kids, they're feeding them something because it's, you know, these kids, DBs, you know, 6'3", 215 kind of thing, you know, I mean, 210.
They did. Now, I'm going to tell you who was an Andre the Giant when he showed up in Atlanta was Deion. He was bigger than every corner. Because, you know, most corners are like 5'10 to 5'11, 5'9 to 5'11. You know, you're rare to have a six-footer back then. You know, I'm almost 6 foot, 5'11 some change. But most guys with my height, we're about 185 pounds.
Yeah.
You know? Deion came 6'2 and some change, 200 pounds. Wow. Running the way he was running. It's special.
Yeah, especially.
Before we end our show today, we'd like to mention one more time, this show is presented by Bet Online.
That's the end of our show, man. Thank you so much for coming on, hey, man. Buddy. Taking your time. Enjoy. We got to do it again. Yeah. Bring some other guys on together, man. We really have a crazy time.
Anytime, now, man. Anytime. Thanks for the opportunity. Enjoy.
Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. Tonight, we had on our Legends segment, the great James Harris out of Florida State University at Gainesville, Florida, right?
Show you
he
right.
did the right thing, y'all. He left Gainesville and came to Tallahassee.
That's show you all right. Always the know.
The rest is history. So if you like the video tonight, comment, share it with your friends. I'm your host, Bobby Butler, with 100 Yards of Football. We'll see you again next week.
What is your favorite moment from football history? What teams and players are you cheering on? And who will win it all? We want to hear from you, our listeners. Head over to 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch and leave us a comment. We might use your suggestion in an upcoming episode. Tune in daily to the podcast and watch our show live every week. We are 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio on the Believe Podcast Network.